The cool night air lapped at her face. "What happened out here? Are you all right? Your forehead's bleeding," he added, pulling a handkerchief from his pocket.
"It's nothing," Nora said, waving away his handkerchief, suspiciously wrinkled. She pressed her palm gently to her forehead again, wiping away another smear of blood. The camera, still dangling from her wrist, tapped against the steering wheel. She slipped it off and put it carefully beside her on the seat.
"It's my anniversary," she informed the stranger. "My heel's bleeding, too."
"Do you need a doctor?" the man asked.
"My husband's a doctor,"
Nora said, noting the man's uncertain expression, aware that she had perhaps not made much sense a moment earlier, was perhaps not making much sense now.
"He's a doctor," she repeated firmly. "I'll go find him."
"I'm not sure you should be driving," the man said. "Why don't you leave the car here and let me call an ambulance?"
At his kindness, her eyes filled with tears. But then she imagined it, the lights and sirens and gentle hands, how David would come hurrying and find her in the ER, disheveled and bloody and somewhat drunk, a scandal and a disgrace.
"No," she said, becoming very careful of her words. "I'm fine, really. A cat ran out and startled me, but truly I'm fine. I'll just go home now and my husband will attend to this cut. It's really nothing."
The man hesitated for a long moment, the streetlight shining silver in his hair, before he shrugged and nodded once and stepped back onto the curb. Nora drove carefully, slowly, using her turn signals properly on the empty street. In the rearview mirror, she saw him, arms folded, watching her until she turned the corner and disappeared. The world was quiet as she drove back through the familiar streets, the effects of the wine beginning to ebb. Her new house was ablaze with lights in every window, upstairs and down, light pouring out like something liquid, something that had overflowed and could no longer be contained. She parked in the driveway and got out, standing for a moment on the damp grass, rain falling softly and beating on her hair, her coat. Inside, she glimpsed David sitting on the sofa. Paul was in his arms, sleeping with his head resting lightly on David's shoulder. She thought of how she'd left things, the spilled wine and trailing streamers, the ruined roast. She pulled her coat around her and hurried up the steps.
"Nora!" David met her at the door, still carrying Paul. "Nora, what happened to you? You're bleeding."
"I'm okay. I'm okay," she said, refusing David's hand when he tried to help her.
Her foot hurt, but she was glad for the sharp pain. A counterpoint to the throbbing in her head, it seemed to run straight through her in a line and hold her steady. Paul was sound asleep, his breathing slow and even. She rested the palm of her hand lightly on his small back.
"Where's Bree?" she asked.
"She's looking for you," David said.
He glanced into the dining room and she followed his gaze, saw the ruined dinner, the streamers all pooled on the floor.
"When you weren't home, I panicked and called her. She brought Paul over and then she went out looking for you."
"I was at the old house," Nora said. "I hit a trash can."
She put her hand to her forehead and closed her eyes.